Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Now, this morning, my topic is, the Lord hears the cry of the poor man. The Lord hears the cry of the poor man. Now, who is this poor man? Now, this poor man is none other than David. Now, David, in his life, of course, especially in the earlier part of his life, was always subject to trials and tribulations. You see, there was a stage in his life, in the earlier part of his life, when his popularity had grown so much that it exceeded that of the popularity of King Saul. And Saul became very, very jealous of him because of the great popularity that he had. And he was, of course, very fearful that David someday would be taking over his throne. And so, what he did was, he pursued David, and he went after him. He went after his life, just like a hunter would go after the life of a wild animal. And so David had to flee from his presence. He had to flee from the land of Israel, and in fact, he had to go into the land of the enemies, the land of the Philistines. So he came to the place called Gath, the ruler of which was Abimelech. Right in the book of 1 Samuel, he is referred to as Achish. But here, according to the heading of this psalm, he is referred to as Abimelech. He came into his presence. And of course, Abimelech, being the king of the Philistines, of one of the groups of the Philistines, was an enemy of Israel. And David was surely one of the arch enemies of the Philistines. And so, David, in his presence, would be in grave danger. He could possibly lose his life. But David pretended to be mad. And he allowed his spittle to flow down his beard. And Abimelech said, I don't want to have anything to do with this madman. Dismiss him, get him out of my sight. And so David was able to escape death by the mercy of the Lord. And after his deliverance, came forth this beautiful psalm. The heading of which is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior, when he pretended to be mad before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And he wrote this beautiful psalm in thanksgiving unto the one true living God, and also with the purpose to show how God had delivered him. Now, I'd like us to look at the characteristics of this poor man. As we said, he was none other than David. Now, what is the meaning of the word poor? Now, poor does not refer to material poverty. Some, of course, want to twist the word of God. They choose to interpret it another way, and they would say that the word poor here refers to material poverty. And they would go as far as to pervert the word of God and to say that in the Sermon of the Mount preached by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5, verse 2, when the Lord said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, they would say, well, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor, and they stop there. But the Lord definitely says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, these people who twist the word of God are very, very interested in preaching a gospel that is false. It is a social gospel. The emphasis is on the material. And so they would advocate helping the poor. They say that you help the poor, give them material help, and you will be able to alleviate them from their physical misery. You'll be able to do that. But of course, as we said, they are twisting God's word. And then sometimes they will even go as far as to say that the poor are poor because they have been exploited by the rich. So the way to alleviate the problem of the poor is to fight the rich. You see, that is the kind of false gospel that they preach. It is a false gospel, a social gospel. But the word poor here actually means afflicted, humble, lowly, needy, poor. The poverty here refers to spiritual poverty. So let's be clear. When the word of God talks about this poor man, he's talking about one who is spiritually poor. It has reference to one who has a broken heart and who has a contrite spirit. If you look at Psalm 34, verse 18, all right, the psalm that we have just read, Psalm 34, verse 18, you will know what I'm talking about. Yes, the poor man refers to one who is of a broken heart and one who is of a contrite spirit. I read for you Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So that's what a poor man is, one who is of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. It refers to one who sees himself as being depraved. In other words, one who is crushed. Crushed by what? Crushed by a sense of guilt, the guilt of his sin. And he knows that he's totally unable to please God in any way. Even if he does the best, he's absolutely unable to please the one true living God. And he realizes that he has no hope at all, except hope in the one true living God and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, until we see ourselves in that condition, totally depraved, miserable, lost sinners, we will not feel that we need to be cleansed by his precious blood. And it's when we see ourselves as totally lost, totally miserable, lost, totally depraved, and it is only when we are cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be acceptable in the sight of the one true living God. It is only when we are in that state that when we pray, the Lord will hear us. It is only when we are in that state that when we cry unto him, the Lord will hear us. Now, the poor also refers to someone who is righteous. I look at Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. This poor man cried. All right, it was the poor man who cried, and then the Lord heard him. And then you look at verse 34 and verse 15. You see that the poor man here is also referred to as the righteous man. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And the same thing in verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So you put the three verses together. God hears the righteous, God hears the righteous, and then God hears the poor. Then you must come to the conclusion that the poor and the righteous are one and the same person. All right? So, the poor man is a righteous man. Now, note that this poor man, David, thought that he had any righteousness in himself. He knew he didn't have it. That's why he says in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He realized that he was totally depraved. Yes, broken into pieces by his guilt of sin. He knew that. No righteousness in himself at all. But David also knew God's way of how God would see a person as being righteous. He knew that. And how would he know? Now don't forget, David was said to be a man after God's own heart. And so surely he knew the records of the Old Testament, particularly the books of Moses. He would have understood that. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. And he would have been very, very familiar with how the Lord treated his great ancestor Abraham, how the Lord saw that Abraham was righteous. Now, why was Abraham regarded as righteous in the sight of the one true living God? The answer is given to us in Genesis 15, verse 6, which David undoubtedly knew. And Abraham, or he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in God, and God counted it for righteousness. David understood this truth. And so David knew that he could be standing righteous in the sight of the one true living God, not because of that he had any righteousness in himself, but he believed in the one true living God, and God would have seen that as righteousness in him. Now, friends, my question to all of us here this morning is, are you a poor person spiritually? Are you a poor person spiritually? Now, it is vitally important that you are. If you are, you are a privileged poor. Because if you see yourself as being poor and you came to the Lord in your spiritual poverty and ask for the Lord to credit you with his righteousness, he would. He will grant you his righteousness. Yes, but if you are not spiritually poor, you are not righteous in the sight of the one true living God. And God will never ever answer your prayers. If you are not seen as righteous in his sight, he could never ever answer your prayers, except one prayer. And that prayer is for the very thing that you are in need of, namely righteousness. So if you are willing, you know that you are not spiritually poor, but you want to see yourself as being spiritually poor, you want to have this righteousness of the one true living God accredited to you, what you need to do is to come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes, pray for the Lord to accredit you with this righteousness by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that he shed his precious blood for you. And ask for that precious blood to cleanse you of all your sins. And believe that this Savior that you are asking to credit you with righteousness is alive and is well able to do that. Yes, he became sin for you. He was made sin for you so that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. So today, if you would come to him in your spiritual poverty and ask him to credit you with his righteousness, he would. Yes, he would. And then you would then be like this poor man described for us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. When you cry unto him, the Lord will incline his ear to you, and he will hear your prayers. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now, the poor man was obviously also a humble man. All right, the poor man, of course, was spiritually poor. He realized that he had no standing at all before the one true living God, and that he had no righteousness in himself. Whatever righteousness he had was righteousness credited to him by the one true living God. And then he was who would come before the one true living God with a broken and a contrite heart. Yes. And he would ask for the Lord for righteousness to be credited to him. Now that's what a poor man is. But the poor man, the poor man is also one who is humble. Yes? Look at verse 1 and verse 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now his mouth, the mouth of this poor man, continues to praise whom? Of course, he continues to praise the one true living God. He didn't pray, he doesn't pray praise himself, but he praises the one true living God. My dear friends, such are the boastings of a man who is humble. Yes, a proud man would never do that. Whom would a proud man boast about? Of course, himself, all right? He would not boast of the one true living God. But the humble man would. And then who would appreciate the praises of the humble man for the one true living God? Who? The psalmist says here, my soul, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. His fellow humble believers. Yes, when they hear the praises sung of the one true living God by this humble man, they will say, amen. They appreciate these praises sung about the one true living God. But not the proud man. The humble man will be very, very gladdened by the praises sung for the one true living God by another humble man. So we can say that the poor man is a humble man. So the poor man is one who is of a broken and a contrite heart. He is righteous, seen as righteous in the sight of God, and he is also a humble person. Now, so we have talked about this poor man. Now, I'd like us next to focus on the prayer of this poor man. Now, to whom did he pray? The answer is obvious. Of course, he prayed to the one true living God. And so we read verse 6 again. It says here, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Of course, he cried unto the one true living God and saved him out of all his troubles. I dare say that lots of people don't cry to anybody when they are in trouble. Isn't it true? They don't cry to anybody. Many people don't cry to anybody. They try to manage their troubles themselves. And they do so because they think that they are self-sufficient, they have the means, they have the wealth with all to manage their troubles. So they say, I'll manage the troubles myself. After all, I'm a self-made man. I'm where I am because of my wisdom, my power, my resources, my ability, my energies, and so forth. So I can manage the problems myself. And of course, there are many people who are able to manage the problems themselves. But at what expense? They go through great stresses and strains to resolve their problems. And there are others who try their very best to resolve their own problems because they think that they are able to do so, but then finally they discover that they are not able to do so. And so what happens? They enter into great despair, of course. Then there are others who try to resolve their problems by seeking their gods. And we see lots of such people in Singapore. I do not know whether there are people here who would seek their gods when they are in trouble, but in Singapore, there are lots of people who would do that. When they are in trouble, they will go to the temples and they will seek their gods to resolve their problems. And some would even go as far as to seek the counsel of the temple mediums. And of course, the mediums will then try to give the right counsel, the advice to enable them to resolve their problems. But at a price. And so those people who go and consult the temple mediums, of course, have to give substantially to the temple organization. Now, in the Word of God, we have one man, yes, who was so desperate that he sought the help of a witch. Yes, he was none other than King Saul. He sought the counsel of the witch of Endor. He was in serious trouble because his country was being invaded by the Philistines. And God, he knew that God was going to take his kingdom away from him. So he went to seek the counsel of this witch of Endor, who was supposed to be a necromancer. A necromancer is someone who is supposed to be able to communicate with the dead. So he sought the counsel of this necromancer, and his purpose was to call up the prophet Samuel, who had died already. And so this necromancer apparently was able to call up Samuel. But of course, that was not Samuel. It was an evil spirit. And this evil spirit predicted that Saul and his sons would die in battle the next day. And true to the prediction of this witch, true to the prediction of this evil spirit, Saul and his sons were destroyed the next day. His sons were killed in battle, while Saul was shot by an arrow that was delivered at random. And because he didn't want to be captured by his enemies and be humiliated by the enemies, he committed suicide. Yes, but you look at David. David was different. Yes, to whom did he direct his prayer? My dear friends, he directed his prayer to none other but to the one true living God. Now look at his confidence in this God of his. You look at verse 7. Look at his confidence in this God. 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. He recognized that this God of his in the person of the angel of the Lord to be all-powerful, omnipresent, one who was encamping around him, yes, and one who was able to deliver him. That was how he saw the one true living God. That was the kind of confidence that he had in him. Now, every time we come across this term, the angel of the Lord, let us understand that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament very often referred to the second person of the Trinity, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now you look at another psalm and you see the kind of confidence that David had in this God, so much so that he would seek this God. In Psalm 18, somewhat similar to the psalm that we read earlier on by the chairman about David's confidence in the one true living God. Psalm 18, verse 1. This is what David said of his God. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord was his strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. In other words, he is his shield also. Now, there were two kinds of shields that people would hold in ancient times, a big shield and a smaller shield. The buckler was the smaller shield, which will protect a person when they are in close-up confrontation with the enemy. And the horn of my salvation, in other words, the power of my salvation, and my high tower, from which I can have a very, very good view of where my enemies are. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. If this God of his was so powerful as to be his rock and his fortress, his deliverer, his God, his strength, and the one who encamped around him, yes, could anybody harm him? Of course, nobody could. So that was the kind of confidence that he had in the one true living God. It is no wonder that David will seek this God in prayer and no other. Then he also recognized another thing about this God that he prayed unto. We're talking about the prayer of David and whom he was praying unto. Then you see, he recognized that this God of his is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. And by the way, this verse is our motto for our church. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And then you look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. This God of his, unto whom he cried, yes, is good. And he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What it means is, happy is the man that trusteth in him. He will have many afflictions, without a doubt. This poor man had, but the Lord would deliver him out of them all. He is good. Now he didn't just deliver him out of one situation, bad situation, or two bad situations, or even 10 bad situations, but he delivered him out of all his situations, bad situations. And therefore, David could say that this God of mine is very, very faithful. Able and faithful. He delivers me not just on one, two occasions, but all occasions. So this God of mine is absolutely faithful. And indeed, friends, this God of ours never lets us down. So long as we recognize that we are poor in spirit and we continue to cry unto him, he will deliver us from all our troubles. So I ask you, my dear friends, have you tasted of the goodness of the Lord? Have you tasted of his faithfulness? Now, if you haven't tasted of the goodness of the Lord, haven't tasted of his faithfulness, listen to the invitation of the psalmist. He invites you with this invitation. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, do you know that the Lord is good? You know because you have tasted. But if you haven't tasted, you don't know. So the invitation is for you to taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So this poor man had the right view of God. He regarded his God. He knew that this God of his is able, faithful, and good. That is why he cried unto him and not unto anyone else. Now, the main reason we don't call upon this God of ours and cry unto him is that we have a low view of him. You know, we are very, very good at bringing God down to our size. That is what we are very, very good at. We say that with him, nothing is impossible. Haven't we said that? With him, nothing is impossible. We say that, don't we? We do. But I dare say that it's all just talk, nothing else. When you say, with him, nothing is impossible, I think it's just talk. Yes. We don't actually believe that he is what he says he is. And that is the real truth. But friends, if we want deliverance from our troubles, we must believe that this God of ours is what he says he is. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must believe that he is the omnipresent God. We are always in his presence. He encampeth around us. Yes, he's omnipotent, means he's all-powerful, and he's absolutely good, absolutely faithful. This God only must we come unto and cry unto. And how did this poor man pray? All right, he prayed to God. We're talking about the prayer of the poor man. So he directed his prayer to the one true living God. But then, how did he pray? Look at verse 6 again. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The poor man cried. In other words, friends, his prayer was not just a mechanical prayer. He actually agonized before the Lord. And perhaps he prayed like the way his ancestor Jacob did. Remember Jacob? Yes, Jacob had a twin brother by the name of Esau. When they were younger, Jacob swindled his brother of his birthright and of his blessings. And this angered the brother Esau very, very much. And Jacob and his mother also heard that Esau was going to kill him. And so he had to run away from his brother to escape the wrath of his brother. And so he went and stayed with Uncle Laban for something like 20 years or so. The intention was for him to be there only for a few months, but he stayed for about 20 years or so, during which time he was bullied by Uncle Laban, exploited by him, and he had to work very, very hard. But God blessed him. And then after about 20 odd years or so, he returned to his homeland. God told him to return to his homeland, and he returned with a huge family and with a huge livestock. But when he came back to his homeland, there was only one terrible big obstacle before him, and that was his twin brother Esau. Was he going to come up to meet him in war or in peace? He couldn't tell. And so that night, before he met with his brother on the next day, he prayed by the river Jabbok, and the word of God tells us that he wrestled with God from night till the break of dawn, which means he prayed. He cried unto the one true living God from night till the break of dawn. And we read in the book of Hosea, Hosea 12:4. Let me read to you this verse, Hosea 12:4. Yea, Jacob had power over the angel. Again, we talk about the angel of the Lord, which refers to none other than the second person of the Trinity, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And prevailed. Yes, he wept. You see, he wept and made supplications unto him. So he wept and he made supplications unto him. In other words, he cried unto the one true living God. And the Lord heard his prayer. So the next day, instead of a bloody bloodbath between the two brothers, they were very, very happily reunited. Now, in the word of God, there was another person, a good king, who wept and cried, and the Lord heard his prayer. Who was that king? Trivia. Who was that king? He cried, and the Lord heard his prayer. Hezekiah. All right, he was a good king. Hezekiah was a good king. Yes, but one day, God, through the prophet Isaiah, came to him and told him, set in your house in order, because your life is going to be terminated. All right, let me read to you. All right, he was sick unto death. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. The words here I want you to take note of are this. And Hezekiah wept sore before the one true living God. And then did God hear his prayers? Yes, the Lord heard his prayer. And the Lord gave him an extension of 15 years of life. He wept and the Lord heard his prayer. Now, but don't go away saying that Elder Cole said that every time we are sick, we pray and then we cry unto him, the Lord will surely hear my prayer and heal me. Not necessarily so, my dear friends. If we pray unto him, we cry unto him, if it is his will to heal us, he will heal us. And sometimes he may not deliver us from the particular affliction that we think that he ought us to deliver us from. Sometimes he's got a better answer for us. You remember the case of the Apostle Paul? Paul was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh, right? And he asked the Lord, Lord, please remove this affliction from me. And three times he cried unto the Lord for this affliction to be removed from him. But the Lord said no to him. And then finally the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, yeah, good. Then let my thorn stay. so that I will be able to enjoy the power and the strength of the one true living God, so that I can serve him better. So you see, the Lord has a better answer than for our being delivered from the affliction that we suffer from. But friends, my point is this, our prayers, sad to say, very often are very mechanical. We search ourselves, isn't it true? Mechanical, lifeless, insipid, faithless, and then we still expect the Lord to answer our prayers. My dear friends, the Lord says this, you cry unto me, I will answer. Yes, and not those insipid prayers, my dear friends. Those prayers are not going to move the heart of the Lord to answer our prayers. So let not our prayers be mechanical. Let them not be insipid. Let us be crying unto the Lord so that he will answer our prayers. Now, let us say that your child, all right, your child one day does something very, very naughty. And you say, I must discipline. He's so naughty, I must discipline him. He's just a little child. Then you look at your child very sternly in the face, and your child knows that you are very, very angry with him because of your stern look. He looks quite frightened, and then you see your tears streaming down his cheeks. Then he doesn't say anything, but he rushes forward, and then he hugs you and says, Daddy, forgive me, Daddy, forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What do? You tell your child, go away. Go away, don't hug me. My dear friends, you don't do that, do you? You don't. I can guarantee you 100% you will wrap your arms around him and you say, oh, it's all right, all forgotten. Would you not say that? I guarantee you 100% you will do that. Yes? True or not, Philip? Yes. Yes, true, absolutely true. Friends, if we human beings are capable of loving in this manner, is not our Heavenly Father even more capable of loving us? Surely, if we come before the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart, he will hear us. The psalmist says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The psalmist cried unto the Lord. He recognized that if he wanted the Lord to answer his prayers, he approached before the one true living God had to be acceptable unto him. Very important. The approach must be acceptable. You look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And what was the psalmist's approach to the Lord that was very, very acceptable unto the Lord? It was a righteous approach. He knew in his heart that he must stand righteous before the one true living God. If he wanted the Lord to answer his prayer, if he wanted the Lord to incline his ears to him. And so he says in verse 11, all right, verse 11. Oh, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Very important, my dear friends. Keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. My dear friends, if you want the Lord to answer your prayers, this must be the condition. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In short, what it means is this, we must not regard iniquity in our heart when we come before the Lord. Yes, we must approach him with clean hands and a pure heart for our prayers to be heard by the one true living God. If you want deliverance from the afflictions that we are going through, that is the condition that must be put in place as far as our relationship with the one true living God is concerned. So friends, when we come before him, let us believe that he is the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, one who is good, one who is faithful. And we must cry unto him if we want our prayers answered. And then also we must come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. Now look at the result of the prayer of the poor man. We talk about who the poor man is. We talk about his prayer. Now look at the result of the prayer of the poor man. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, very often, we forget this wonderful promise we learned when we first came to the Lord. Yes, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Right? One of the first promises that we learn from the Word of God. And then we cry unto him. What's the result, my dear friends? The poor man says, he cried unto the Lord. The result is, of course, the Lord heard his prayer. It was the prayer of a poor man who came before the Lord righteous, and he knew who this God he was praying unto. And let us understand that we believers are really not free from troubles. In fact, when we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our problems and troubles might just increase. So David says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We are not spared from troubles related to sickness. We are not spared from troubles that occur in the office. We are not spared from troubles that occur in the home. And sometimes we are also not spared from troubles in the church. And then we are not spared from the misfortunes of if the economy of the country goes bad. We will also suffer like other people suffer. Then we are also not spared from wars if this country goes to war. My dear friends, we are exposed to all these afflictions. And on the top of this, afflictions, many times we come under the chastisement of the one true living God. He loves us, and he wants us to keep in the path of righteousness. And so the word of God says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. So we also receive this kind of afflictions, so-called. And often our faith is tried too. The Lord wants to try our faith. For what purpose? For the purpose of producing patience in us, so that we may be able to effectively and victoriously run our Christian race. Yes, he allows these trials to come into our life for that purpose, to produce patience in us. And sometimes he would subject us or allow us to go through trials, just like he allowed Job to go through trials. For what purpose? So that we will all come forth as pure gold. Well, friends, let us trust in the one true living God. The good news is, when we are going through all these afflictions, yes, when we cry unto him, what is the result? The result is this: the Lord will answer us and deliver us from all our afflictions and all our troubles. Then look at another result of the prayer of this poor man. All right, we have already talked about result number one. He surely answers our prayers and delivers us from our afflictions. But result number two, look at result number two. He bursts out with praises unto the one true living God. He says in verse one, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So when the Lord answered his prayers, when he was delivered from all his troubles, he burst out into praises unto the one true living God. Like the psalmist, this is exactly what we must be doing. When the Lord delivers us from our troubles, let us remember to give thanks unto him, to testify of his goodness, testify of his power, his faithfulness. And we want people to know the attributes of the one true living God. We want to let people see that this God of ours is indeed the God with all these attributes. That is all-powerful, all-knowing, and that he's one who is omnipresent, he is faithful. We want people to know this God. We want to tell them about the attributes of this God so that they will be interested to come to believe in this God. But you know something? Words can be very cheap. We can be singing the praises of the one true living God. But then we don't do anything. Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, but we don't do anything. Words can be very cheap. Now, the best way to express our gratitude to the Lord is by what? By our service unto the Lord. Our zeal for him must increase. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In other words, there must be no stoppage of our gratitude unto him. But sad to say, very quickly we would forget the goodness of the Lord. When the Lord delivered us from some troubles, from some illness, let us say we suffered from some illness and we are fearful that we might not be able to pull through. And then we go through an operation, a very, very major operation, and the Lord sees us through the operation and we come out alive and then we are well again. And then we are so very thankful to the Lord. We say, I must serve the Lord. And so very cheerfully, zealously, we serve the Lord. But for how long? For how long? Or the Lord might just deliver us from another trouble. There could be a growth in our body, and we suspect that it could be a malignant growth. And then we go for the test, and the biopsy result comes back, and it tells us that, well, the growth is benign. We are so thankful to the Lord, and we tell the Lord, Lord, I want to serve you. And then we serve the Lord, and we do so zealously. But for how long? My dear friends, the zeal and the service are short-lived. How sad. But friends, that must not be the case. You know, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. No stoppage of his thanksgiving unto the Lord. My dear friends, if we truly are very thankful to the Lord, then we must not stop serving the Lord. We say, Lord, I promise to serve you. You have delivered me, I promise to serve you. And so, where are you now today? Where are we now today if the Lord has delivered us? My dear friends, how do we show our gratitude to him? By stopping our service unto him? No, my dear friends, our service to him must be increasing. Our zeal in serving him must be increasing. So, who is a poor man? A poor man in the sight of God is one who has a broken and a contrite spirit. One who is humble and one who stands righteous before the Lord, not because he has righteousness in himself, but the righteousness that he has comes from the one true living God who imputes that righteousness to him because this man has come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we read from this psalm that the poor man cries and the Lord hears him. And that is how we should be praying unto him. Yes, we must be crying unto him. Our prayers must not be mechanical, must not be insipid, must not be bland. But friends, they must be agonizing prayers. We should come before him and cry unto him. And then when we come before him, let us come to him in faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must come before him to believe that he is indeed the omnipotent one. Yes, the omniscient one, the all-faithful, the faithful God, the loving God, one who never lets us down. My dear friends, this is the God that we must understand we are coming before when we cry unto him. And then when we come to him, if we want him to hear our cries, the condition is this. We must come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. Yes, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, he will not hear us. And let us remember how we ought to show our gratitude to him after he has delivered us. Friends, let's be giving thanks unto him. Of course, verbal thanksgiving is very, very important. But I dare say that in addition to that, we must be expressing our gratitude to him by our service to him. And let not our service be short-lived. Yes, if we are really thankful for his deliverance, if you think back, you realize that the Lord has been so kind, so gracious to us. So what do we do, my dear friends? No stoppage of our service unto him. No stoppage of our gratitude to him. We must renew our love for him and say to him, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you better. I look back. I thank you, Lord, that you delivered me from those terrible problems that I had in time past. Thank you, Lord, and now I want to serve you. And I will serve you with increasing zeal and increasing might. So, friends, the psalmist says, the Lord hears the cry of the poor man. Are you a poor man? Now, if you are not a poor man yet, if you have not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why don't you come today? Come and believe in him as Lord and Savior, and then you will be positioning yourself like this poor man recorded in this book of Psalms. And when you cry unto the Lord will hear you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so kind and so gracious towards us. We thank you for this wonderful psalm that was penned by the great King David, whom you delivered out of the hands of his enemies. And he was so thankful to you. Help us, O Lord God, to understand this teaching very, very clearly, that you would incline your ears only to the poor man, one who is willing to come before you with a broken and a contrite heart. Help us, O Lord, to see how totally depraved we are and how much we are in need of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to save us and to grant to us the imputed righteousness so that we can stand righteous before you. And, O Lord God, we pray that you will be very merciful to us, and that when we come before you, help us to realize that we are coming before the all-powerful God, the omnipotent God, the faithful God, the good God. And help us, O Lord God, not to pray prayers that are so mechanical and insipid and so bland. Enable us to pray agonizing prayers before you, for we know that if you did that, your ears are inclined to us. And help us to understand that when we want to come before you, we must do so with clean hands and a pure heart. So, Lord, be with your people today. Thank you, O Lord God, for positioning us as poor people in your sight, so that you would incline your ears to us when we cry unto you. And we pray for those who are not the privileged poor yet, we pray that you will speak to them, cause them to come to believe in you today. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.